Relational counselors will often caution about using exaggerated, comprehensive kind of language, such as, you always, you never. As the self-contradicting adage says, always and never statements are always false and never true. But the Apostle Paul doesn't hesitate to use this kind of language when he urges us toward a spirit of gratitude. When Paul arrived in Thessalonica, he was there only 3 weeks, evidently, when persecution hit with a fury. And the account is recorded in Acts chapter 17. Let me read to you what happens. When they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on 3 Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from Scripture, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ, he said. And some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, and so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. By the way, a riot in a Roman city, Roman colony, that's bad trouble. They want to squelch that. In come the troops, harshly. Anyway, they rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men have caused trouble all over the world and have now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." I think we talked about that last Sunday. When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil, and they made Jason and the others postpone and let them go. And as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. Had to get them out of town for their safety. Persecution just dogged Paul wherever he went on his missionary journeys, starting churches and spreading the gospel. But it was not just directed at him alone. The newborn Thessalonian believers were obviously attacked as well. Now here's a church that was born in the fire of persecution and unjust suffering. They were without their leader, their teacher, Paul, who had led them to the Lord. And it's like you become a Christian and somebody rips your New Testament away from you and you no longer have that source of learning. So how are you going to grow? How's it going to sustain your faith? Well, several times Paul tried to return to Thessalonica church, but Satan kept throwing roadblocks in the way. And so how were these fledgling Christians faring in the midst of such strong opposition? Well, Paul was staying in touch with them so he could keep up on what was going on there. And in one of his letters to them, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he writes, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if you go on from there and read the first couple chapters of this letter, Paul talks about how their response to the gospel has really been a model and a great inspiration to churches everywhere throughout the empire. Wow, I mean, this church is having an impact. No wonder Paul's continually thanking God for them and what Jesus was doing in their lives. In chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 19 and 20, Paul said, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." And then later, Paul wrote to them saying, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and love for every one of you has for each other is increasing, and therefore among God's churches we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring. In fact, in Paul's letters about to them, he just overflows with commendations. Now, these Thessalonians obviously had an amazing spirit in spite of the great duress they were under, and they were growing with just minimal leadership help. It's amazing. So Paul kept teaching them by correspondence, which was very slow, and he also sent other teachers to them, like young Timothy. Even now, in this letter in 1 Thessalonians, Paul was modeling for them the importance of maintaining a spirit of thanksgiving no matter what you're going through. And so, near the conclusion of the letter, Paul coaches them with these words, no matter what they have to endure. He says in verses 16 through 18, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Simple but profound. Now, while with all that we've been going through in 2020, I read these words and I think God's speaking to us, admonishing us with these very words, timely words for us. There's one thing that I hope to impress upon you today, and that is it's always right to be thankful to God. It's always right to give thanks to God. Wouldn't it be great to always be right and never wrong? Some of you think that you've already arrived at that, I know, but seriously, today you can always be right and never wrong when you're grateful. Because it's always right. It's always right to be thankful. It's God's will for you. So with all we've been through this year, on top of the normal challenges of trying to live out our faith in the current culture, I have to admit to you the challenge of preaching. You know, I love the challenge. I love the challenge of preaching. It's a great responsibility, but I confess the weight is enormous and often perplexing, especially these days. Because with the ever-changing upheaval and traumatic new developments that seem to come weekly, you know, with emotions running high and tensions like a roller coaster, you know, and with division and injustice and confusion and conflicting information, with big issues that really matter are at stake, life and death issues, I'm at times at a loss. I mean, what do I stand up here and say? God, what do we need to hear? What do you want your people to know right now? And so I trust that he's been guiding you and that God's been speaking to you in this strange year. And I pray the messages that I brought have ministered to and equipped you in various ways. But once again, here I stand today and I'm faced with, what can I say? What do we need to hear? And I believe the Lord has led me to what's really needed and what can really make a difference for us in times like these. If you want a subject that explodes with implications, that is relevant right now, that permeates nearly every part of life in the Bible, that ties every other great theme and celebration that is inherent to the disciples of Jesus and the will of God, this is it that we're talking about today. This is the magnitude of gratitude. I want you to sense how big it is and how important it is. It is a prevailing spirit for the worshipers of God. It's woven into the lifestyle of every believer who has ever been touched by the grace and power of God. It's a foundational attitude for the people of God. It's uncontainable expression, the mindset of all who have tasted and recognized the goodness of God. Gratitude is at the very heart. It is the heart. It's the kind of heart that will lift you no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through. Gratitude. Gratitude is the heart that will empower your influence with others, and gratitude is the heart that deepens your connection with God. And so as we look at what Paul said here, to be joyful always and pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, it seems to me that it's always right to be thankful. It's God's will for us. It's always right to be thankful. It's God's will for us. Gratitude is always a right choice. And we can decide to identify the blessings in our life and thank the Lord for them, the giver of every good gift. And when things are going well, we don't pat ourselves on the back, oh, look what we've done. No, we thank God, the source of all blessings and goodness. We give credit where credit is due, don't we? But even if things aren't going well, we can still be thankful. You know, from inside the belly of a fish, if you can imagine, Jonah prayed one of the most beautiful prayers of thanksgiving in the Bible. David, in all his ups and downs, he wrote and sang many songs of thanksgiving to God. Oh, yeah, he expressed his heartache, his challenges, his disappointments, his struggles. But in the midst of that, he was always thanking God. When Job lost all but his life, he still blessed the Lord. And when everything was good, when he was experiencing the abundance of a good life, he blessed the Lord. You see, in victory and in defeat, in joy and distress, in laughter and tears, in strength and weakness, gratitude is always the will of God for you. Gratitude's always the will of God for you. Enumerating blessings will shift your focus and lift your spirit and bless God, who is worthy of our praise and our thanks. My friend Jeff observed, thanksgiving is what you do when you don't know what to do. It's what you do when you struggle with sin. It's what you do when you get bad news. So many times, I thank the Lord for the great dad that I had. He loved me so warmly and lavishly, loved the whole family, and he modeled and taught me. He shared his wisdom. He encouraged me. He poured himself out for the Lord and in ministry to other people. And my dad was such a character, and he was so much fun, and people loved him for it. And I was just so grateful to have him for a dad. But as I sat in the ER with my mom, and the doctors told us that there was nothing they could really do to save my dad's life, because he suffered a massive brain hemorrhage, he would die in the next couple hours, and he did. And once again, we quietly thanked God for his life in that moment, for what he meant to us, and we thanked God for heaven. See, when there's nothing else you can do, you can still thank the Lord. It's always the best and right thing to do. Can we admit that 2020 has been a year of whining? Seriously, I've heard more complaining than ever, you know? It just seems like all the time. And I get it. We are so over quarantines and masks and Zoom and remote learning and working, no touching, fighting and bickering going on, election rancor, injustice, depression, anxiety, fear, financial distress. And I'm just sick. I'm sick of the media. I'm sick of social media, to be honest with you. And I'm weary of it like you. And to be honest, I've complained about it. Have you? But complaining does nothing good, really. It doesn't help the situation to complain. It actually makes us feel darker and makes other people feel darker. It makes people not really want to be around us. Nobody likes to be around a whiner. My brother used to say, have a little cheese with that wine, you know? And whining just dilutes our testimony for the Lord. And that's why Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 teaches, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. And we should stand out as different because of the Lord in our lives. Do you realize how rare and refreshing it is to hear gratitude expressed these days? To hear some joy. Your gratitude can actually brighten the spirits of the people around you. You know, instead of sharing the latest bad thing to happen, try stimulating your friends and family and coworkers with this question. What are you thankful for today? And it's always right to be thankful. It's God's will. In fact, thankfulness saturates the Bible and should be a natural part of our lives as we walk with God. In the Old Testament, there were feasts and there were offerings of thanksgiving. Many psalms express thanksgiving. Psalm 100, for example, urges enter his gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 136 resounds, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And we see Jesus pausing to give thanks before meals and before working miracles. And even communion is referred to in the Bible as a meal of thanksgiving. That's what it's called in 1 Corinthians 10:16. And Hebrews 13:15 instructs us, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Did you know that ingratitude makes the list of the most serious sins in the Bible? Did you know that? Did you know thanks and gratitude and grateful are mentioned 140 times in the Bible? Did you know it's one of only five direct, this is the will of God statements in the Bible? And that one's right here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful always. It's the will of God for you. In Davidic worship, did you know there are ministers of thanksgiving? That was their job. Did you know that thanksgiving and generosity are inextricably linked in the Bible? Did you know that we will give thanks forever in heaven? Did you know that some of the Old Testament offerings were called thank offerings? Did you know that when you sing thanks, it's an offering to the Lord? Did you know David would get up at midnight and give thanks to the Lord? Get up in the middle of the night, you know? Did you know the one leper who came back and said thanks to Jesus was another good Samaritan? Did you know that? Did you know there are creatures, beings in heaven that are giving thanks to God? You know, there's never a time that gratitude toward God is not appropriate or a productive response. All across America, people will celebrate Thanksgiving in a few days, albeit with many fewer crowded around their table because of social distancing. But the spirit of thankfulness will glow in our nation for one day. But while many people truly do feel thankful, and they have that thankful spirit, very few will actually acknowledge God, the giver of every good gift. They'll have a thankful spirit, but they're not going to thank God. They won't direct their thanks to him. But we will. We most certainly will. We'll humbly thank him. It's always right to thank him because that's his will for us. Now, secondly, we learn from this passage, it's always right to be thankful, not for, but in all circumstances. So we're always to be thankful, Paul instructs here, but we're certainly not going to be thankful for all things. Like, we're not thankful for evil, but we can always be thankful even when there is evil. And so when we contract COVID, or if the candidate we voted for doesn't win, or when you can't see your loved one in the nursing home for months and months, when a person is unjustly killed, when the court decision doesn't go your way, you know what? We can still find reasons to give thanks to the Lord. I admit, though, that, you know, that artificial syrupy thankfulness turns me off a bit. You know how that person, every time you greet them, they tell you how blessed they are, pretending that they're super spiritual and all is well when it's not? You know it's not. So what I'm advocating is a spiritual authenticity, a genuine spirit from those who are truly, humbly thankful. Psalm 140, verse 13 declares, "Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will dwell in your presence." Genuine gratitude is an identifier of the person who walks with God. It'll mark you. My grandma Lang was, when she was about 80, she was hearing impaired, and she was not as steady on her feet as she once was, quite slow. Well, she fell and broke her hip while visiting my aunt, states away, far away from home and church and friends. So she's stuck in the hospital with none of her friends and family around her except my aunt. And while in the hospital recuperating from that surgery, there were heart complications that she experienced. And then on top of all that, if you can imagine, her house in which she lived all her adult life burned to the ground. Her home was gone and everything in it. She was flooded with sympathy and get-well cards. In fact, she set a record for the most cards received as a patient in that hospital. And the news of her story reached the newspapers, and they came for an interview. And I remember on the front page, the big headline featuring the smiling face of my grandma said, "Woman feels so blessed." That was the story. I mean, the reporters were stunned at this remarkably, genuinely joyful woman in spite of all that was going on. All she could talk about was God's goodness, and she thanked Him for having such a blessed life. Be thankful in all circumstances. We found some of my mom's journals after she passed in July, and she titled one of her journals in particular, she titled it Book of Blessings. And I was curious, and I began to thumb through it. Here's a widow with failing health, painfully bent back, can't go anywhere unless someone else takes her where she needs to go, to the doctor, the store, whatever. She's losing her memory. She's in her 90s. And every day she sits down and records God's blessing. Every single day she finds things for which to be thankful. Man, I want to challenge you. For the next 30 days, take a few moments each day to write down some blessings from God and give thanks to Him. And it will change your spirit. It will. In fact, I want you to look around the room that you're sitting in right now, and I want you to find something that is red in the room. Can you find something that's red? You know, generally, it's pretty easy to spot something red if you're looking for it, right? Well, we can do the same thing with Thanksgiving, even in this season of 2020, right? We can find and enumerate blessings if we'll just look for them. It's a good exercise. Psalm 103, verse 2 sings, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." Gratitude is always good. You don't have to be thankful for everything. You can be thankful in everything. So, thirdly, we learned today, it's always right to be thankful, giving us a buoyant spirit. Half of their number died of cold, disease, and malnutrition that first hard winter, raising some serious question about God's providence. Those pilgrims who survived the winter immediately set out trying to construct better shelters and cultivate the land more efficiently, and the challenges were so great that some of them just gave up hope. In fact, some actually boarded ship with the intention of leaving the colony, only to be reinvigorated with the arrival of another vessel making its way into the harbor with medical supplies and food that they desperately needed. So somehow, they persevered, and as the second winter began to creep in, their governor, William Bradford, proclaimed that on November 29th, 1621, the colonists would cease their striving, gather as a community, and share in thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. And so with hopes renewed, they continued on, as did many who followed to America. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, gratitude, did you notice it's coupled with joy and an abiding relationship with God? Because these attitudes will change your spirit, your outlook, and your ability to cope. Rejoicing, always. Praying without ceasing. Thanking. These are buoyant words, not sinking words. He's describing a buoyant lifestyle. Gratitude is a life jacket, not a straitjacket. You know, it's hard to tip a grateful person over. They just pop right back up. They stay afloat. A grateful person keeps a grateful spirit keeps us level and balanced. Thanksgiving is more powerful than disappointment. It's more powerful than evil and suffering. It's more powerful than grief and fear. Giving thanks are actually instead words in the Bible, words that are better than the alternatives. Instead of evil talk, instead of despair, instead of anxiety, instead of rebellion, instead of discontent, instead of pride, instead of entitlement, we say thanks to God. We recognize Him as the giver of all good things. Ephesians 5:4 directs, there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Instead, we give thanks, right? Romans 1:21 explains, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. They could have been given thanks to God, but instead they had pride and rebellion. Colossians 3:15 through 17 urges, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Spirit of thanksgiving. There's no doubt about it. Thankful people, they're just happier people. Thankful people have less gloominess, less anxiety. They have better physical health. Thankful people are much more pleasant to be around. Grateful people warm the environment. They make others feel better. Thankful folks, you know, they enjoy intimacy with God. And grateful people cast the spotlight on God. They reflect God. People are drawn and they're curious about how you can be so grateful. How do you always find things to be thankful for? So we have this buoyant spirit when we're thankful and rejoicing and in an abiding relationship with the Lord, always. And the last thing today, it's always right to be thankful, making us spiritually productive. 1 Thessalonians is one of the most heart-lifting letters in the New Testament. Paul is so thankful for their amazing development as disciples in spite of all the disadvantages we talked about, and especially the persecution. And in fact, churches all over the world were marveling at and giving thanks for these Thessalonian believers. And Paul is just kind of pouring gas on the fire of their exuberant, grateful spirits, thankful to be in Christ. They're just joyful about it. And so the more of the right spirit they have, the more good they're able to do for the Lord. And the whole context of this letter is thanksgiving for spiritual productivity, thanksgiving that fuels more spiritual productivity. When my heart is full of thanksgiving, when I'm counting my blessings and forget none of His benefits, my trust in the Lord swells. You know, you're thanking God for the good things, and you say, hey, He is doing good things, and it makes your faith grow. And so from a thankful, trusting heart flows generosity and ministry. And what I do for the Lord and what I do to bless other people prompts others then to return thanks to God. And so we don't put those giving boxes by the doors in our worship center or ask you to give online or send it through the mail. We don't do all that so that we can pay the light bills, so that we can keep the church doors open and pay the heat and all that stuff. But that's not why. No, giving are opportunities, avenues for you to express your thanksgiving and generosity towards the mission of Jesus. And as people's lives are changed and blessed, they'll give thanks to the Lord as well. And you'll have more reason to be thankful. Brothers and sisters, we have so much in abundance. We do. But we've got so much to be thankful for. I visited with our missionary partner, Jorge Lugo, just this week. And the conditions that we live in are so exceedingly abundantly more comfortable than in Venezuela, even in the pandemic. And so many freedoms, so many choices. We're free from so many different burdens. Even people with the most difficult lives among us live in abundance in many ways. And it's not because we're so deserving. That's not why. Be thankful for the gracious blessings of the Lord. But there's one thing I want to call to your attention. There's only one thing that really gives us reason enough to overflow with thanksgiving. And this reason alone is enough to give thanksgiving to God. And that's the amazing, super abundant grace of God to forgive our sins when we're powerless to help ourselves. He saved us from condemnation that we deserve. And then on top of that, He pours out a tidal wave of spiritual blessings. So how can we not live lives of thanksgiving unto our God? I can never do enough to say thank you, God. So I'm excited to tell you what happened last Sunday. 10 young people from the Blevins family and friends came forward, and we got to witness their baptisms all at once. It was just one of those most memorable days in the Western Hills Church for many, many different reasons that I'm not going to go into, but we're just all rejoicing over this. This is so exciting, and I love these youth. They're great young people, but we overflowed with thanksgiving for their new birth in Christ on Sunday. And for me, it was not just the joy of salvation and new life for them. It was a great affirmation of what God's doing in our midst as we try to live out His mission. But that thanksgiving that I've been reveling in all week since those baptisms fueled an even greater conviction in me that I will hope will create a new level of productivity in us all as a church. I want to experience more of that kind of thanksgiving. Don't you? Wouldn't you love to see more baptisms like that? More and more and more. I am resolved and invigorated to keep discipling, to keep preaching the gospel, to keep reaching across diverse lines, to build friendships and to minister, to develop a diverse fellowship that glorifies God, to bring more and more families and more young people and more of everyone into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To make growing disciples who will make disciples, who will in turn make disciples, who will in turn make disciples. What better way can we say thank you to God, and then we'll have even more reason to give thanks as people respond to the good news? Will you thankfully give your life to Christ today? Will you let Him wash away your sins by His blood shed on the cross? If you want to be baptized, hey, give me a call, 251-2232. I'm glad to share what the Bible says about receiving salvation and how to respond to the good news of Jesus.